Jay Jenkins, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educator, bringing you the Beef Watch podcast. This is the audio companion to the UNL Beef Watch electronic newsletter. Today, I have Dr. Travis Mullenix with me. Travis is a brand new Nebraska Extension Beef Specialist. Thanks for joining me today, Travis.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
Dr. Mullenix, as I mentioned, is a brand new member of Nebraska Extension based down in North Platte. He wrote an article for the October issue of the Beef Watch newsletter that he titled Nutritional Management of Gestating Spring Calving Cows, or Grazing Dormant Upland Pastures. But before we dive into the research, why don't we take a moment and get to know you? You came here from Tennessee, is that correct?
That is correct. So in the last roughly 5 years, I was faculty member at the University of Tennessee. Similar to here, I was located off campus at a research and education center where I had 100% research appointment, really focusing on overall cow-calf management and nutritional management. A little different in environment in terms of they get about 55, 60 inches of rain a year. It creates different challenges than producers here have, but it's all the same as everyone deals with their own challenges.
Of course, your graduate studies were on the opposite end of that scale, right? You got both master's and PhD from New Mexico State?
That is correct. So after my bachelor's at Oklahoma State, I went to work for Dr. Mark Peterson at New Mexico State. And so southern New Mexico gets around 5 inches of rain, 5 to 8 inches of rain. And where we did our research at was about 12 to 15 inches of rain a year. So I did my master's and PhD there, but my PhD research was actually located in Mile City, Montana. And a little different environment as well, as they get about 15 inches of rain a year, but you go from a hotter, warmer environment in New Mexico to a much colder, a little more heat stress, or from heat stress to a cold stress environment in Miles City.
15 inches of rain goes a lot farther in Montana than it does in New Mexico, doesn't it?
That's correct. So similar rainfalls, but we're looking at overall grass production of, in a good year in New Mexico, there may be 800 pounds per acre, where typically in southeastern Montana, you're looking at 12 to 1,800 pounds per acre. So, you know, similar rainfall, but totally different in stocking capacity due to that little extra growth you get from cool season forages versus warm season forages in New Mexico.
Yeah, so you made sort of a big old circle to come to Nebraska. But did you grow up in Oklahoma? You got your undergrad in Oklahoma State.
I did. So I grew up in eastern Oklahoma. We ran a cow-calf operation and some quarter horses on the side. And so that's a different, little different type of environment than all the other locations so far. So it is a gives me a really broad perspective on multiple different types of production systems and how to deal with those, the challenging problems producers have within that given production challenge.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, we're happy to have you here and looking forward to, hopefully you're looking forward to having an extension appointment coming from a strictly research background.
I am. You know, that's one thing you do miss is being 100% research, is you miss that interaction and that constant feedback from your stakeholders, from your producers of it's a give and take, and getting that feedback and getting their input is very important. And for, I think that's, you miss that when your appointment is solely research, is not getting as much of that feedback from your producers and hearing what their challenges and what their needs are. And so I am looking forward to having the split appointment and having the interaction with the livestock producers here in the state.
Absolutely. And doing research at Goodmanson, that's a pretty good place to do research too. And of course, all the facilities at North Platte, it's a great place to be a beef cattle person. Nebraska is.
Oh, I agree.
So you want to set up the study a little bit. Obviously by the title, it's nutrition management of cows grazing dormant upland ranges. So it's probably not going to be any surprise to anybody right. that it's basically a protein supplementation study, but you want to go ahead and just set up the design a little bit, nothing too specific, but sort of what you did and why you did it.
Yeah. So, as many producers know that graze their uplands during the winter, that quality is going to be low. There's energy in that forage, but to capture that energy, we need protein. And to meet the nutritional needs of the cow, that is the first limiting factor. It will be the protein of the forage. And so some of the reasoning behind this study was that in New Mexico, we come up with this supplementation package that we found that we could feed 3/4 less of protein if we fed a certain type of protein and have the same, the original study was have the same ruminal fermentation. And so when we looked at that, we designed this study to take it from more of a basic lab setting and more intensive setting to the pasture-based, really applied-based. And so this is a four-year study that we fed either a pound and a half per day of a 36% supplement. And then our supplement we fed was a self-fed supplement comprised of 50% animal protein sources that was made up of porcine blood meal and feather meal. And the other 50% was our trace mineral package. Now, both groups did get the same trace mineral package. And so for that second supplementation group that were self-fed, we mixed that animal protein with our mineral and had it out just like our mineral. So our target intake was somewhere between 4 to 6 ounces per day of the mineral. And then we had a third group that only got fed during high environmental stress times, such as if we got dumped on with some snow. And over the 4 years, I think we only fed probably 3 or 4 days. So basically the third group of that study didn't even get fed for the study. And so we have a broad range of cows getting a pound and a half per day to the self-fed that's ultimately consumed half a pound of the entire package, which was made up of half of it was our mineral. So basically they're only getting 1/4 pound per day of protein. And then our last group really didn't get fed during late gestation.
So the mineral thing, I was going to ask, how variable is that? I've done a few podcasts, Dr. Carla Jenkins, we talked about trying to supplement in protein block and rumensin and the fact that inconsistent intake can be an issue. And we talked trying to do MGA supplementation on heifers out in the pasture and trying to include it in a supplement. Sometimes inconsistent uptake can be an issue, but
right.
Is that a concern, or is protein, it's not nearly as time specific, I suppose, as either rumensin or MGA would be?
So yes, in that terms, you're correct. So with any supplement, you're going to have some variation of either non-eaters or limited eaters. And so the amount of variation you get increases from, let's say, a hand-fed cube to a self-fed or even a molasses lick block or molasses lick. And so you do increase that variation in certain types of supplementation strategies. And so some of that risk we have to take as producers, because it's always a give and take. And so one of the things behind the study was that not only do we want to decrease the amount of feed that we're feeding overall, we also wanted to decrease our production costs from the amount of feed, but also delivery times. So there can be some give and take of how much risk are you willing to take in that variation of intake.
I guess the good news is it seemed to have worked. And you want to talk about the results now, what you found?
Yeah, so basically we fed these supplements anywhere from 30 to 90 days prior to calving. At calving, roughly calving, we stopped supplementing. And so for your study, what we found was that the pound and a half of the cottonseed meal cake and the self-fed animal protein, high bypass protein, both were very effective of maintaining cow body weight and body condition score weight gestation. The group that really didn't get fed, they lost roughly 30 pounds during late gestation. But overall, when we looked at actually cow performance, pregnancy rates were 94-95% plus. So we didn't really see, outside of a decrease in that body weight in the group that didn't get fed, we didn't see a cow performance difference. But we followed these steers that were in utero, that late gestation. We followed those steers through the feedlot to see if those supplements had either a positive, negative, or any effect on that calf's performance later on in life. And interesting enough, we didn't find any difference in performance, even in the group that their dams lost body weight during late gestation. But what we did find was that the calves from the dams that got fed that self-fed, high rumen undegradable bypass protein did have an increased health or a decreased percentage treated in the feedlot. So we are somehow influencing their ability to cope to that high stressful time and going into a feedlot. So we really think it's a not so much a amount of protein that's influencing, but the quality and the type of protein you're feeding has more to do with, can have more to do with influencing that calf's health versus just feeding a bunch of protein.
So I know that your research study didn't include dry distiller's grains, but this is Nebraska, I guess. And yeah. That is the one protein supplement that we do have in abundance. How do you think distillers might have performed in, or how would have it fit into this picture?
So we've actually done one study, one year study, using corn gluten meal as a replacement. And so corn gluten meal would be a similar plant-based that's higher in bypass protein. And so distiller's grains is, for our plant-based protein sources, it's our highest bypass protein. And so I would think that it would have a similar effect on that calf versus getting something that was a lower bypass protein amount. So I think it would be fairly comparable utilizing a distiller grain-based a supplement during late gestation that to have that increased health in the offspring.
It's interesting that your study, you found sort of the similar things that some of our researchers have been finding at GSL. And we've always historically thought we supplemented protein in order to get cows bred, but reproductive performance, you know, really haven't seen that big a difference between the supplemented and non-supplemented groups. However, yeah. The difference we see is in the calves that are in utero during that time of supplementation.
Yeah, you know, our mature cows are really resilient, and you know, that's the unique and really fascinating things about cows is they've got some really neat adaptive abilities to adapt to time periods of of lower nutrient intake. But we also have some very critical and key time points during those that the calf in utero needs certain nutrient supply, or we will have some negative influence on its life down the road.
Anything else you want to share with folks before we wrap this up?
I think the big takeaway is that, and there's also multiple other studies that that UNL has done, but I think we really need to pay attention to the type and quality of protein we're feeding versus overall amount of protein. And so that was the big key takeaway from this study, was quality and type is more important than quantity. So I think that would cover it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Travis, for joining us again today.
Thanks, Jay.
Once again, this has been Jay Jenkins and Dr. Travis Mullenix with the Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Team, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. You can find links to both the UNL Beef Watch Podcast and the written version of the Beef Watch newsletter at beef.unl.edu.